From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and we begin today with state politics. Last week was the Illinois State Fair, which generally includes two of the biggest days on Illinois' political calendar: Governor's Day for the party in power, Democrats this year, and then Republican Day for the out party. The days featured meetings and rallies. Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker was unsparing in his criticism of what he called the lunatic fringe of the Republican Party.
In the face of what's happening in America today, in the face of what the Supreme Court and the radical right wing are trying to do to the fundamental rights of every American, we, the coalition of the sane, owe something better to our children and our grandchildren.
Meanwhile, Republican gubernatorial nominee Darren Bailey was equally unsparing in his criticism of Pritzker and the Democrats.
And Chicago, once great city, well, it didn't become a hellhole just because of Lori Lightfoot and Kim Fox. Starting with J.B. Pritzker, our leaders are all in cahoots. They're knee-deep in corruption, and they don't care about the working people like you and I. They've proven that.
All right, well, joining us to talk about this and what's ahead in the campaign are two of Illinois' top political reporters. Amanda Vinicky is a correspondent with Chicago Tonight from PBS station WTTW. Amanda, always great to talk with you.
Thanks so much, Brian. Same here.
And Jeremy Horner covers state government for the Chicago Tribune from Springfield. Jeremy, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Good morning, Brian. Happy to be here.
All right. So, Amanda, let me begin with you, and let's just begin sequentially. Democrats Day is first. Governor's Day with the Democrats is first. What was your big takeaway from their gathering?
Yeah, Brian, you know, I mean, quick distinction there. You're right, because I think people might wonder, how does this order get sorted out? Who gets to go first? It's a little bit like playing a board game, I suppose. Whoever wins the roll of the die, in this case, who wins an election, they get to go first for Governor's Day. And so really the big takeaways, first of all, if you see any pictures, you cannot help but notice just how different in scale these two events are. They are run and meant to be different. Nonetheless, the sheer number of Democrats that attend this morning breakfast that is the Democratic County Chairs Association annual major fundraiser, holy wow, they had to move from a hotel that hosts, you know, ballrooms that host really weddings, you know, all sorts of events, to the huge convention center. And that even was packed. So that, I think, is one thing to notice. And that sort of leads to the confidence that I think Democrats really have. They are fighting hard. They say that they are not taking anything for granted. You hear the rhetoric that the governor is using, where, as you described it accurately, unsparing, and yet almost sort of a jovial mood, able to be that unsparing, because I think that that characterization of the Republican Party as off the rails, or as the governor put it, you know, a fringe lunatic wing that has taken over, has given them confidence in a state like Illinois. Sort of a quick aside, I do think my ears perked up at the use of words like lunacy, sanity by both parties, in the sense that a lot of attention given to mental health and maybe sort of an inappropriate characterization there, that members of the other party will find very offensive. So it is both a confidence in Illinois, and by the way, Governor Pritzker helped to engineer the lifting of who he now describes as the lunatic fringe, in helping Darren Bailey, who didn't have a ton of money and didn't have widespread name recognition outside of Central and Southern Illinois, where, holy wow, he is beloved by a lot of his constituents. I was in Southern Illinois, not just for this the party, but I actually spent the weekend in Centralia at their Balloon Fest. And yes, you still see Fire Pritzker signs and a whole lot of Darren Bailey support. So I'd say those are really my three major summary characterizations.
Jeremy, one thing I've talked about a lot in the past few years is this idea that balanced political coverage in Illinois cannot just include differences between Democrats and Republicans, but you also have to cover differences within parties, right? Say, in the Democratic side, between progressives and self-styled moderates. Do you see any daylight heading into the election this year based on what happened last week, or is everyone rowing in the same direction?
I think that seems you know, right now they're rowing, you know, in the same direction, Brian. Whether it's reluctantly rowing in the same direction or enthusiastically, I mean, there, you know, there's about 80 days left before the election, and clearly, Governor Pritzker's rhetoric about Darren Bailey and about the Republicans calling them a lunatic fringe was very forceful. And, you know, to me, what that indicated is that whatever differences we have within our own party, especially as we saw with the selection of Elizabeth Hernandez over Robin Kelly for the Democratic head of the Democratic Party, there was some division there. Whatever differences they have, Pritzker's rhetoric was very forceful, to the point where we need to be all in on this against the Republicans. Another takeaway that I got out of, you know, this whole thing, out of Governor's Day and Republican Day, is that for the Democrats, they were basically reverting back to castigating former Republican Governor Bruce Rauner for a lot of the state's problems, particularly their economic woes. This is a tactic that we've seen by Democrats, not just on the state level, but just in general. I mean, in Chicago, for example, Mayor Rahm Emanuel used to criticize his predecessor, Mayor Richard Daley, of course, both Democrats, for the economic woes in Chicago in the mid-2010s, leading up to his reelection bid in 2015. So that's a tactic that's not nothing new among Democrats. The thing is on the state level, we've seen a more forceful effort of Democrats continuing to castigate Bruce Rauner, even though he hasn't been in office for 3.5 years. So we saw, we've seen that over the last year or so, particularly when, you know, when the Democrats are talking about anti-violence efforts and more than $200 million that's being funded for anti-violence efforts, and how that money wasn't there and the infrastructure wasn't there under Bruce Rauner, never mind COVID, you know, they love to go back to Bruce Rauner.
Right.
Well, especially when they're together, you know, I mean, I think that's the difference. You're not seeing Bruce Rauner in campaign ads. That's not something that is necessarily going to carry a lot of weight with the public at large. But these events, if you're going to be at this fundraiser, if you're going to be out at the state fair rally, these are people that you're looking to energize the base, get them to volunteer, get them to vote. And that is the sort of thing. I mean, Rauner gets those tried and true, really high involvement, no state government ins and outs, people fired up. That's not something that you're seeing necessarily on ads on TV, where still really the focus is on things like Bailey's stance on social issues such as abortion.
Yeah, of course, Rauner isn't even in Illinois anymore.
Right.
Certainly not a player aside from the occasional interview where he pops up. All right, let me take a moment to remind listeners this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking with Amanda Vinicky and Jeremy Gorner, both reporters, political reporters. Amanda with Chicago Tonight from WTTW, and Jeremy Gorner with the Chicago Tribune, although he's their Springfield state government reporter. And let's turn now to the Republicans. We've used about half of our time this morning. So, Jeremy, talk to me about this idea of Chicago as a hellhole. Bailey had said that earlier in the campaign, then he seemed to kind of move away from it, certainly doubling down. We heard that clip at the top of the segment at the fair.
Well, clearly, you know, that's an indication that Darren Bailey is playing to his base and you know, central and southern Illinois by bringing that up at the state fair. I mean, that's part of it. He's also visited Chicago and the Chicago area enough, particularly, you know, what Republican enclaves exist in the Chicago area, where, you know, you might find some people who clearly agree with him. But, you know, at least through social media, through some news reports that have come out since Thursday, just from common folk about his hellhole comment, it's really gained a lot of, it's really shown that there's a lot of negative, a lot of blowback, basically, from Bailey's latest wave of using the term hellhole. I believe he used the term twice in his stump speech on Republican Day at the fairgrounds. And then he was asked about it a third time, and he discussed it a third time during a Q&A afterwards. So this is clearly something that He has tried to walk back in a Chicago Tribune op-ed. He talked about how basically spoke very, very highly of Chicago and was very careful to not use that term hellhole. And that was kind of his way of walking it back. But he seemed to be all in with that term, last week. And clearly, you know, we've seen some blowback again on social media and just from, you know, news reports of just everyday Chicagoans who have really been resentful of Chicago, of that term, with the understanding that Chicago, of course, it's the third largest city in the country. It's got problems, but clearly there's a lot of people too, particularly in the Chicago area, who have a problem with Senator Bailey using that term.
And a lot of voters there too. And we saw former Governor right. Bruce Rauner, to use his name again, he certainly made efforts to try and win support in the city and not insult it. Let's actually, because this raises questions about how other Republicans feel when they hear that. And it struck me, I saw a few reports that, you know, suggest some people in the Republican Party are a little unenthusiastic, at least among the establishment. Let's listen to a short clip from WGN-TV featuring House Republican Leader Jim Durkin and Assistant Republican Leader Avery Born.
With less than 3 months to go before Election Day, Bailey is desperately trying to fill up his campaign coffers and bring skeptical establishment Republicans on board.
Are you supporting Darren Bailey?
I'm supporting the Republicans up and down the ballot.
Are you going to do everything you can to elect Darren Bailey?
I'm doing everything I can to elect Republicans up and down the ticket.
It's almost like they planned what to say. Amanda, did Republicans appear unified to you?
You know, I think they are unified against J.B. Pritzker. There is certainly no wishy-washiness there. They don't believe that he is leading the state in the right direction. Do they believe that Darren Bailey is the man who can win the governor's office from Pritzker? No. Do they even want him to be the one who's in that position? No. And it is because of, I think, quotes such as the description of Chicago as a hellhole. Again, there are elements of the base that I think feel that way, that see Chicago as such due to violence issues in the city. And yet, that is something that establishment Republicans recognize and sort of wince at in terms of language that is not going to sit well with voters, that they realize the conversation is more nuanced, and they take a lot of umbrage with a lot of Bailey's positions, both from an electability point of view and from a point of view of just on the merits, on the issues. So this is a split that I think you very much see. Again, there is a split as well in the Democratic Party, the progressive versus the moderate, but you're not really seeing that play out quite as strongly, especially in Illinois. It's more insider baseball sort of issues. Again, not never by any means, but it is not playing out in this very public fashion. And while you do have, I think, some Republicans that say, hey, the primary is over, that's what primaries are. They're going to be rough. You have to sort of slay your opponent. We saw that on the Democratic side in races such as that for Secretary of State. They didn't have to go through that at the top of the ballot in the Democratic in the race for governor in the Democratic primary. You do have to go through that in the GOP. And that was not just politics. It was not just personality. That was heartfelt.
Only about a minute and a half left. Jeremy, what are we looking ahead for in this campaign as we progress here? I mean, debates. There was some debate about the debates last week, right?
Right. So I know that Pritzker has thrown out there two debates in the fall, that he's obviously agreeing to. I know that Darren Bailey said that basically he will debate J.B. Pritzker anywhere, anytime. As far as like when, there really wasn't a lot of specificity as to what dates the Bailey campaign would agree to, but he said he would debate Pritzker any place, anytime, basically. So that's these are televised debates, obviously.
One in Chicago, one in Bloomington, but that's
right.
Not,
but a whole lot more new media organizations wanting them. I think real quickly, Brian, what was interesting about it was Pritzker, I know, denied an invitation, for example, to a joint one between WTTW, WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times, as well as other public media stations, and said, oh, it's a scheduling conflict. We said, we can make other dates work. It seems like Pritzker really wants to keep it to just two debates, believing that will work in his interest to perhaps not give Bailey more name ID, and also maybe so that he doesn't mess this up, particularly he might be eyeing a more national role down the line. So it seemed to be a play by Pritzker. Get out there first, draw attention away from Bailey, and try to limit the number of debates. Again, as Jeremy said, Bailey saying, I'll take on Pritzker wherever, whenever, but has not said where or when.
Well, I enjoy talking about state governments and politics wherever and whenever with Amanda Vinicky and Jeremy Gorner. So thank you so much both for being with us. We will continue this conversation in the weeks ahead. Amanda, Jeremy, great to talk to you as always. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Coming up after a short break, we're going to be turning to Ray Bradbury, the famed science fiction writer, was born 102 years ago today. We'll talk about his legacy and his upbringing right here in Illinois. This is the 21st Show. More to come. Stay with us.